Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why My Lowe's Rewards members get a free paint or exterior stain sample to test your look and find the perfect color to confidently refresh your space. Lowe's, we help, you save. Offer valid in-store only, 5/8 through 5/14. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Richard Keith Langham is a Manhattan-based interior designer who is a Southerner at heart. He has been in Architectural Digest Top 100 four times, as well as Elle Decor's A-List. He has had the privilege of doing both residential and commercial projects for some very well-knowns and has been doing it long enough to even have had Jackie Onassis as a beloved client. We took advantage of his being in town for the annual Antique and Garden Show here in Nashville to sit down with him. So join us at the table as we discuss design with hospitality in mind and one of his major marks on New Orleans and what he hopes is still to come. I'm Lainey.
And I'm Laura Beth.
And we are
Steel Magnolias.
The strength of steel
with the grace of a magnolia.
We are here to have uplifting conversations about life in the South.
And we've got plenty of room at our table. So pull up a chair. Well, Keith, let's start with how your Southern roots actually got you interested in design.
Well, I grew up in a tiny little town, small town of about 5,000 or 6,000 people called Brewton, Alabama. And there were a lot of women, not a lot of women, several women who lived in our town who were very house proud and had really stylish, beautifully put together houses. And I remember that speaking to me as a young kid, you know, and we spent a lot of time in each other's houses because there was nowhere else to go. And these beautiful houses has ingrained in my memory even to this day. And I think that's what, you know, spurred me on to want to be a decorator.
Okay, so you've been a New York resident for decades now, but do you still consider yourself a Southerner at heart?
Absolutely, absolutely. I've lived in New York for, I hate even to say this, 43 years.
Wow.
And I can't even believe it sometimes. And I, still to this day, when people say, where are you from? I immediately say, I'm from Alabama. But I guess I'm technically now a dyed-in-the-wool New Yorker, because I have lived there for longer than I've lived anywhere else.
Wow.
Right? But no, I will always be Southern. Who was it that said you can go far away, even millions of miles away, but you'll always be Southern? And it's so true. Mm-hmm. And I have a little coterie of friends. You know, most of my best friends are Southern.
That live there in New York?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We all stick together. We stick together like glue. Yeah. And
did you just recognize each other when you saw each other on the street or in a...
No. We all had, you know, overlapped friendships and connections and college things and all that stuff. Because there was a whole group of us who moved there when we were young. And New York is a city where you either, like me, you stay the rest of your life, or you stay there a few years and you come back home. I think what Truman Capote said, God knows why, but we have to go back.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, half my bunch ended up moving back to the South.
Wow.
And I might too one day. Mm-hmm. My heart says maybe so.
Okay.
Well, we'd sure take you back, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So when someone wants to consider hospitality to others as a priority in their design or decorating decisions, what kind of recommendations would you make?
Well, a dining room at the top of that list. To have a proper dining room that's properly kitted out. And I like comfortable chairs. I like beautiful lighting in a dining room.
Mm-hmm.
You want to have lovely table linen. You know, this whole world has gone tabletop crazy. If I see another table setting, I'm going to jump out of that window. But but yeah, I think a beautifully appointed dining room is important. And it's funny because I've been decorating for so long. Dining rooms went out of vogue and went out of popularity, mm-hmm. and now they're a big priority with clients who come to me. You know, they're very concerned about a dining room, but I think that's important. I think, you know, the living rooms are important, where that are all comfortable and inviting and, you know, beautifully lit and just that have comfortable seating for everybody. There's a drinks table there. There's with lots of, you know, way to make people something to drink. Big on fires. I love all that.
You know, hospitality really is a state of mind, but it does require some practical steps to actually put feet to it.
Oh, yeah.
So what are some things you think of with design, you know, with hospitality in mind specifically?
Okay, well, one is really fresh on my mind because I did it for our Christmas party, which we do our Christmas party sort of like an open house.
Yeah.
We start it really early, about 5 o'clock, for the families and kids with early bedtimes. And I just knew it's December, so people are going to have coats.
Yes.
So my coat closet is right by the front door, so it was completely empty you know, ready to go hangers, empty hangers. And I was able to, sometimes I took the coat for people, but actually I was even more casual about it and just said, coats go right up there in the front closet. And one friend even said, oh my gosh, you have an empty coat closet. This looks dreamy. And I was like,
yeah, right. It's usually packed to the gills.
All our coats are in the guest room. Like, anyway.
What's funny is I was there to help with the party. So I just hung mine in the laundry room where I always do.
Yes.
And I never even noticed that little feature because it flowed so smoothly. That's awesome. Well, I think of stations in general. Of like,
yes,
here's the coat station is what I would kind of call that. You know, you don't want people bottlenecked.
Especially around the kitchen.
Yes.
Yes.
So I have to get creative with, a drink station is in a different area.
Luring people into another room with something else enticing. Yes.
Which Keith kind of referred to that. Like he was saying, an area where have drinks available.
Yes.
But it's even all the more important when you're in a Manhattan apartment or a small house.
Yes.
So, stations are where it's at. And even where to have kids gather.
Yeah.
You know, which you had that at your Christmas party as well.
Kids is a whole nother dynamic that, like, needs its own kids and hospitality. I think we touched on that a long time ago.
We did.
But, yeah, when he said, you know, comfortable seating, I'm just going, well, comfortable is one thing.
But comfortable equals big sometimes.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Yes. So actually, you know, I'm thinking I need more space for a quantity rather than the plushness that I would love to offer. But,
you know, Eric Ross, who's a local well-known interior designer here in Nashville, he loves what he calls tiny chairs. Now, he's a tall guy, so he can see. He's not talking about a child's chair.
Right.
He's just talking about it fits nicely in a corner.
Yes.
But you can pull it out.
Yes.
When you need more seating.
Yeah.
I love those kinds of chairs.
Yeah, like a lot of ladder back chairs
I find that don't take a ton of circumference space.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I mean, we all want those big, comfy chairs, but that's not feasible when you need a bunch.
But even, like, I have a little footrest that it's kind of a hybrid between like a short stool and a footrest.
Or an ottoman.
Those things are perfect.
Ottoman can seat one or two if they're big.
Exactly.
I love all those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. That there's even sometimes you'll see like a console table.
Yeah.
That they'll have a couple of little small rounded, I'm going to call them ottomans. That's not the right word. Like, you know, that sit there that you can pull out for extra seating. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, stools, ottomans, things like that are very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And I love nesting tables, you know, where there's like three that fit in each other.
That's brilliant.
And then you can spread them out.
Yes.
If you've got people sitting around in different places, those are nice too.
It is nice to have a place for everyone that's seated to have somewhere to even just at least rest a drink.
Yeah.
Maybe not a full plate. The plate might have to sit on their lap, but at least their drink isn't on the floor.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's inevitable somebody's going to knock it over or the dog's going to drink out of it at my house. Well, he also mentioned lighting, and I think ambiance with lighting is so important.
Yes,
and
it is.
He also mentioned fireplaces, but fireplaces, lighting, all of that feeds the vibe.
It does. Lighting's so hard for me. I had to work extra hard on lighting this year because it's an afterthought for me.
Uh-huh.
But it adds so, so much.
It adds so much. I have added myself to
dimmers
on switches.
Yeah.
I wish I had them on every single light in the house.
Yes.
Because that really can help.
I know. We actually went and bought a few low wattage bulbs for our Christmas gathering because I was like, this is too bright. We don't have a dimmer.
Yeah. You can change the vibe completely with lighting. And then we've mentioned this on the podcast before, but utilizing outdoor space when the weather permits is wonderful.
Yes.
In smaller homes as well, just to kind of spread people out.
Exactly. And I mean, don't worry about the tightness. Like, coziness and tightness.
Sometimes that's what feeds, in a good way,
yes,
conversation. And
yes.
Getting people talking that might not.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So don't shy away from it. Well, tell us a little bit about where you get some of your color inspiration, design inspiration. Does it come from travel? Are there just certain places that you just go, wow, I go there and I get inspired?
Well, I mean, I'm an Anglophile, absolutely, 1,000%. You know, I love anything to do with England. I guess my lineage is, you know, English, and I guess that I can feel that down in my bones. I studied there when I was young. I've been going to London and going to England 2 or 3 times a year for as long as I can remember. And I love all the decoration, interior decoration that has come from England and that has inspired us. And again, Southern decorating was so inspired by English decorating. I mean, look at Charleston and everything there, and Savannah, and all these early towns that were settled by the English. And they really taught us, I think, how to put houses together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's filtered down to everyday life, really. That sort of love of that. I think English design is a sensibility that all Southerners can relate to.
Mm-hmm.
I think Southerners and English have Southerners have an affinity for all things English, as I just said. But they also, there's a great camaraderie between Southerners and English people, I think.
Mm-hmm. Where specifically in England do you like to spend time?
Well, London, always. And then just to go out to day trips in the country or go for a long weekend, you know, and just explore all over. The north of England's beautiful. I mean, all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And again, just seeing those houses, you know, there's nothing like seeing these great country houses, which just are full of inspiration and beauty. And you know, when I was young, and one of my first jobs in New York was sort of an apprentice for Mark Hampton, who was a great decorator and a very noted Anglophile. And, you know, he encouraged me after I graduated from design school in New York to go and spend as much time as I could in England and Europe, but mostly England, and soak up as much as you can. See all the great houses. Go to the museums. Go to the Victoria and Albert and study all the decorative art objects in the galleries. And because what we do as a decorator really is so much regurgitation. You know, it's you call on things from that you've seen and things that you've absorbed over the years, and sort of it's your everyday idea bank, really. I'm much prefer to do that than look at books. I like to sort of just summon it from something I remember seeing in a house in England, or something I saw in a hotel lobby in London, or
that's good.
You know, just. That's always inspirational. And then living in New York is totally inspirational. I mean, I'm a pretty lazy person by nature, I think. But living in New York, you just learn so much by osmosis, just walking down the street.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're bombarded with everything, and both good and bad.
Yeah.
And it's exciting. You know, I still still to this day almost feel like I'm on a vacation in New York. It's still a very stimulating place to me. I work very hard to find ingredients and fabrics and sort of color combinations that aren't even, they're traditional, but they're not everyday.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I could have put it into those words, but I think that's what I like about your style.
But I still try to buy antiques. You know, I'm still madly in love with brown furniture, and I always have been. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it's exciting now because it's like the 30-year itch. It's like they say fashion takes a cycle of 30 years, and I'm sort of living that right
yes.
now. I'm right at the age where I remember things from 30 years ago that we're now, that all the younger decorators, you know, think are new and innovative, but they've really been done for, you know, dozens if not hundreds of years.
Yeah.
So that's, but it's exciting to see all that come back, the color and the pattern, and I think there's a nostalgia in the air. People are looking back. There are a lot mm-hmm. of document fabric patterns that are coming out and printed, not wallpapers that are being produced, you know, that are based on historic examples, mm-hmm. and that's wonderful. It's sort mm-hmm. of heartwarming in a mm-hmm. funny way.
And so I guess you find that your clients are open to embracing that nostalgia, or is that something that you almost present to them and then they sort of see
both,
how it could look good, be good?
I think both.
Well, I love the advice that Mark Hampton gave him about seeing with his own eyes the decorative art museums and the fine homes to be able to really draw those from his own memory bank.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I would say that has been the case for me. I haven't been to that many like he has. I've not studied decorative arts, but that kind of stuff, those seeing things with your own eyes really does
mm-hmm. It inspires.
Go deeper
yeah. Yeah.
in your memory bank as well.
Yeah.
Even if it's just homes that you've enjoyed.
Right.
You know, local homes that you've enjoyed. And yeah. I thought that was interesting at the very beginning when he said, as a young boy, being in homes where the women were very house proud.
I love
that. Kind of got
that.
Him interested
yeah.
in
yeah.
design. So
I'd never heard that term, but
you
I knew exactly what he meant.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's,
yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, books does, you know, certainly have inspired me. Instagram has
yeah.
inspired me.
Pinterest.
Magazines.
For
yeah,
yeah.
All yeah. of that. But yeah, I think the really seeing mm-hmm. how things can be put together.
It's a fine line because there's so much that we begin to then covet and
well,
aspire for that we, you know, don't have the means for.
Right.
Or the,
but
know.
Design inspiration can come from that, even
right.
if you don't get to order it from
yeah.
the
That's
design
I mean.
House
just,
he's ordering from.
Exactly. It's a fine line. But, you know, a lot of it can be recreated on a budget. So I know he probably wouldn't want to hear that, but the reality is that
that's just real life.
Yeah. Most of us live within a means that
everybody has some kind of a, well, I mean, even a Jackie Onassis had some
had
kind
a
of a budget,
yeah,
right?
It's just, yeah.
It's just very she's different than ours.
She's not familiar with some of the brands I am, so.
Okay, Keith, you were able to design and decorate one of the most iconic restaurants in the South, which is Brennan's in New Orleans. Can you tell us about that project?
Well, it was thrilling for me. Terry White merged partnered with Ralph Brennan to sort of resuscitate the restaurant, the legendary restaurant. And you know, I'd gone there as a kid, and all through college. When I was at the University of Alabama for a couple of years, we would, you know, the big trips down to New Orleans. But there's, you know, all those memorable days spent at having breakfast at Brennan's mm-hmm. and drinking in that courtyard, and just there was nothing like it.
Mm-hmm.
Those rum milk punches or bourbon milk punches and all that. And Bananas Foster, what are all those things?
Yum.
And
it was birthed there, by the way,
yeah.
Bananas
absolutely.
Foster.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So it was just thrilling to get to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first went down to give my sort of sales pitch about it, I said, you know, I want to sort of do these sort of themed rooms. I want, if you get your photograph taken in this restaurant, I want to be able to say, oh, that's the trellis room at Brennan's. Oh, that's the Queen's room at Brennan's. I wanted to make it almost a little hokey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't want to make it like somewhere. I wanted to do it, decorate those rooms in a way that could only be in New Orleans. You know, that could not be anywhere else.
Yes.
And I think we achieved that.
I think you did.
And I think it's now going on their fifth year, I think, since we did it. Maybe six, maybe seventh. I don't know. But, you know, it's packed. People still love it. Mm-hmm. And the big test was getting the approval of the Old Guard New Orleanians, because they had sort of stopped going. The restaurant had gotten very down in the mouth and very... Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Not see, yeah, very down in the mouth, and on its and so, after we refurbished it and reopened, a lot of the old town, Tommy uptown people started coming back,
mm-hmm.
and that was a big testament
to the success
a huge of the testament. Decorating. Yes,
yeah. And it feels good. It sort of felt like it's been there a while. But yeah, they love it. They're booked all the time with weddings, and their chef has gotten, you know, what do we call it, James Beard Awards and all that stuff. I mean, they're going gangbusters.
I love it.
Congratulations.
And it does. It looks like it's been there a long time, but yet it's so fresh.
Well, I don't know if you remember, but it's in a big, maybe an 18th century building that was the Bank of New Orleans for a while. It was all different things over the years, but it was the restaurant occupied several small rooms, mm-hmm. so. The architects came in and revamped the floor plan and took out a bunch of walls, where we made two big dining rooms.
Okay.
And we flipped the direction of the kitchen and made it go from Bourbon Street back, or Royal Street back, mm-hmm. toward Bourbon Street, and made it long and slender and allowed for these two nice, generous-sized dining rooms, because we never had a room that, you know, 100 people could eat in,
mm-hmm.
before.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've got that big trellis room in the mm-hmm. back that seats mm-hmm. like
That's
120.
Cool. How you did that.
And, the round banquettes and mm-hmm. all that. It's good. It's comfy and it works. It's mm-hmm. It has a pretty light level, and it's good. It's good. The courtyard's looking good, too.
The courtyard's
it's getting mature.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd love to do another one down there.
Well, I'm curious to know, what is... And that may be a restaurant or a home, but what's a dream project that you would still like to add to your impressive portfolio? You've done a lot of different things.
That's easy. I want to do a hotel. I want to do a small hotel. And
are you open to where? If it was a dream project, is it in Charleston? Is it in New Orleans? Is it
probably? Probably.
Yes, and yes.
It's not going to be in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Mobile. Maybe I'll do one in Mobile. Mobile needs a nice one. I love hotels all over the mm-hmm. world, and love all hotels all over the South. And I like all the old-fashioned, you know, old-worldy hotels.
Mm-hmm.
And don't give me a boutique hotel that's all modern and, you know, streamlined and nothing in it. I can't stand that.
Yeah.
And so I would definitely have a nod to an old-world charm to it.
Yeah.
I think.
Have you ever gotten to visit the Hermitage Hotel here in Nashville?
Yes, okay. It's spectacular.
Yeah. Since we're literally looking at the Bridgestone Arena in downtown Nashville, where this antique show is, and so just on the other side of that is the Hermitage Hotel, which is just glorious and historic, and they've done a huge refurbishment.
Oh, really?
I don't know if you've...
Oh, well, I'll have to go see.
It's been 18 months ago or so that they did that. The whole hotel, even down to the Oak Bar and the restaurant.
I should have stayed there this time.
They had a sort of the corner of the market was the men's restroom that was famous for all
that.
The music videos. Well, now the women's restroom has been given such an upgrade that I think they're really trying to keep
that's
them
funny.
Very even. But yeah, they did a fantastic job. If you do get to come back through town or pop in sometime, you should. Should see all the work that they've done.
What are a few of your favorite Southern hotels?
Well, the Soniet House. We all love the Soniet House in New mm-hmm. Orleans, and it's, you know, it's closed down for 3 years, and it was sold. And my friend Ken Falk from San Francisco is designing the redo, and it's going to be wonderful.
Mm.
And there's kind of nothing like that hotel at the top of the quarter, or the back of the quarter, they call mm-hmm. that, I guess. Other southern hotels in Charleston, I still love the Mill House. You know, mm-hmm. Any old-fashioned hotel is right up my street. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah.
A little bit down in the mouth and a little dowdy, that's fine too. You know?
That's England for you, right?
Yeah, that's very
English
true.
Roots coming
that's
out.
Very true. Well, Keith, we got the good pleasure of catching you in person here in Nashville. Do you do much speaking in other places? How can people kind of connect to you? Maybe that's just going to be through social media, or are you going to be doing any other events this year?
Not really. I don't think I have anything on the roster. I did a lot when I did this book 5 years ago, and I did a lot for mm-hmm. that, because you sort of have to do it to push the book.
Yes. Oh. Yes.
So anyway, I don't know. I went to.
We'll link to that in our show notes
20,
for anyone that
20
wants
cities
to learn.
Or something. But yeah, I guess the book still looks good. Some people might use it to line bird cages now, but we sold
about
a bunch
decorating
today.
Is
we sold
what he's
a bunch
referring.
Today, so that made me feel good.
Good.
That's one of the many beautiful things about traditional decorating is many years later, the book looks like you just did it.
Yep.
Keep telling me that.
Yes.
I know it does.
That's
it
true.
Does.
It does.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
For all these farmhouse books, you know, they're going to be very dated.
Yeah. Well, we will link in our notes for the episode on places that you can find Keith online on Instagram.
He's got a great, fun Instagram to follow.
Yes, very inspiring and slightly covetous, but that's okay. That's what you want, right? As well as we'll link to About Decorating, his book that he just mentioned. So,
well, we hope you guys feel inspired. I wish you could have been here at the table with us to see Keith in his tweed jacket, looking very English.
So dapper, yes.
We're in a very modern room. I could tell you're you would love to get your hands on doing something to these walls. But thank you for giving us some
thank
time.
Thank you, ladies. It's so good to be in the South for a few days.
Yes. Yes. Well, we welcome you back as much as you'd like to come. And we hope all of our listeners feel freshly inspired and have a good week. Peace be with y'all.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.